and it flows from Emmanuel's veins. The song says it came and it healed me, it came and refreshed me, and it came and washed my sins away. Amen. Aren't you glad for that this morning? The flow of the river of God. Hallelujah. The song says, and it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never, ever lose its power. Aren't you thankful for the power in the blood this morning? Hallelujah. Thankful for the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That came to wash our sins away. Do we know how fortunate, how blessed we are today to live in the day and the time and the season that we live in? Amen. Hallelujah. That we didn't have to wrestle up a goat or a bullock or a lamb. We didn't have to bring it in today. We didn't have to inspect the lamb to make sure it was without blemish. And we didn't have to bring our turtle doves or our pigeons. And we didn't have to sprinkle the altars. And we didn't have to go through it. We didn't have to wait a year to do it. Hallelujah. How many know he came and he gave his life. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. How many desire to live an abundant life? Hallelujah. I don't think we are weary pilgrims passing through. I believe that's a lie. I don't believe we have to be weary pilgrims just passing through. I believe we have come to enjoy the journey, to fellowship in the presence of the Most High God, and to high-five him and say, I have had the time of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe knowing God and living in the presence of the Lord and in the presence of Jesus Christ is the best thing going. Amen. It's the best life going because even on a bad day, it's still good. Hallelujah. Because we have a joy that's not connected to our circumstances. Hallelujah. We don't live just for happiness because happiness is connected to your happenings. If things happen the right way, you're happy. Amen. But we have a joy. The scripture says the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many feel some strength in here today? Hallelujah. How many feel the joy of the Lord that gives you strength when you don't have strength of your own? That gives you joy when you don't have joy on your own? That gives you hope when you don't have hope? Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for the fountain that flows from Emmanuel's veins. I'm so thankful for his presence in my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. As a matter of fact, I don't know how to trade it. I really don't know how to live any other way. It becomes so a part of my life. That spontaneous conversation with the Lord, spontaneous prayer throughout your day when you just, you know, you're just in your mind and in your heart, you're saying, Lord, touch that person. Lord, I thank you for my healing today. Lord, I thank you for your blessings. Lord, I send a word of encouragement there. And the presence and the power of God that is an ever-dwelling, ever-present God. Amen. How many know you didn't come to church to find Jesus today? Hallelujah. You brought him here with you. Hallelujah. He doesn't dwell in houses made of stone or brick or hay or wood. How many know you are the temple? Hallelujah. You are, he is tabernacled with us. You are the place where God dwells. And in him, I live and move and have my very being. My very existence is in Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. So thank you for bringing the presence of the Lord to the house this morning. Amen. We don't wait till we get here and walk in and there's an aura of his presence and we walk into it and then we walk back out of it. I mean, that's not how his presence works. He said, lo, I am with you even to the ends of the earth. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. We have a mindset that says when I'm good, he's with me, and when I'm bad, he's nowhere to be found. Can I just tell you this morning, he's just as present with you when you're bad as he is when you are good. He's a stalker. He is just so faithful to be right there with you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. How many are glad for that? Hallelujah. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He's right there with you. There's nothing that catches him off guard. There's really nothing that shakes him up. And there, the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing you're going through, nothing you've experienced, nothing you have done in your life that is new under the sun. Amen. Hallelujah. And I have good news for you this morning. There's nothing that you've done that the blood did not cover. Oh, I should have had a better amen than that. I said, there's nothing that you have done that the blood cannot cover. Amen. There is nothing that you have done in Adam or in your own carnal man that is more powerful than what God did in Christ on the cross of Calvary. So quit making your sins or your imperfections any bigger than God is. Amen. His blood is enough. His grace is enough. His love is enough this morning. Hallelujah. If we ever really get a revelation of that. Hallelujah. That God is not mad at me today. He's mad about me. Hallelujah. He is mad about you. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. That gives me cold chills. Hallelujah. Ever had anybody in your life say, you know what? I'm just mad about you. That's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. When he held out his hands at the cross of Calvary, and he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. He would just wrap his arms right around you and draw you unto him. He's not mad at you today. He's mad about you. And if you start operating out of a mentality that says, my heavenly Father is just head over heels crazy in love for me today. He is head over heels crazy in love for me. Hallelujah. Love covers a whole lot of things. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of failures today. See, I love the scripture. Last week we talked about Thomas, and you know, Thomas gets a bad rap. They call him Thomas the Doubter. Everybody knows his name, Thomas the Doubter, but his name is Thomas called Didymus. We never say Thomas Didymus. We say Thomas the Doubter, because in one moment of weakness or one moment of failure or one moment of doubt, Thomas said, unless I can see the nail prints in his hands and put my hand in his side, I just can't believe. And Thomas didn't ask anything that all the rest of them hadn't already seen. Jesus had appeared to the other disciples and had showed his hands and his feet to them and showed him his wounds. And he said, but unless I can see them, I can't believe. And so for thousands of years, we've called him Thomas the Doubter. But we don't know that Thomas went on to be a great evangelist and was a missionary to India and brought Christianity to India and died a martyr's death. But we only label him by that one moment in time where he had a failure. Amen. How many know sometimes you got to let the past be in your past and quit letting one moment of failure, one moment of doubt, one moment of unbelief label you for the rest of your life, because that's not who you are. Hallelujah. But what I love about the story of Thomas is even in his doubt and even in his weakness, Jesus come over to Thomas. He said, Thomas, go ahead and put her there, because there's my hand, then my nail prints. Put your hand in my side, Thomas. You're blessed because you can see, but blessed is everyone who has believed and has not seen. Hallelujah. How many know Judas allowed his moment of failure, and he went out and he hanged himself. Hallelujah. In our moments of failure, we hang ourselves. Only if we just knew that a few minutes later, if Thomas could have just hung on for a little bit, he would have realized that the hanging of Jesus on the cross was significant for his hanging. He didn't have to hang yourself. You don't have to hang yourself today. His hanging was enough for you. Hallelujah. In Peter's denial, hallelujah, he walked away sorrowful. But there was a moment when the girls come back and said, hey guys, we've been to the tomb and he's not there. We don't know what's going on, but something is going on. Thank God for women who went to the tomb and said, we don't know what's happening. And while all the guys were hanging out in fear behind closed doors, there were some women that had some unfinished business and said, I'm going to see the Savior today. I don't understand all of this, but I'm going to the last place I saw him. And when they got there, they found out that the tomb was empty. And there were some angels standing here and said, go ahead, girls. Go ahead and tell everybody you know he's not here. He is risen. Yeah. Hallelujah. And they went to tell the disciples and they said, he's not there. We don't know what all's going on, but they said to tell you that he's risen. And Mark says, and go ahead and tell Peter that he's risen. How many know Peter had some unfinished business? Hallelujah. When he came to the tomb, he found out he wasn't there. How many know it gave him a chance to hope again? It gave him a moment to believe again. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to hope beyond the spot where you're at right now. You might be hanging out in fear right now of the unknown, not knowing what tomorrow brings, not knowing what accusations might be brought against you. But how many know there is hope beyond where you stand today? There is life beyond your failures. There is life beyond your doubt today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus was so faithful to come back to Peter. And for every time he denied him, Jesus gave Peter an opportunity to say, Lord, you know I love you. Three times he denied him. Three times he comes back and says, Lord, you know that I love you. I mean, in our moments of weakness, sometimes we don't always make the best choice. Am I in the house by myself today? I mean, sometimes in a moment we don't always make the best choice. But don't let that one moment define who you are for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Don't let your yesterday determine your destiny or your tomorrow. Amen. How many know you got to look past what yesterday is? Puma said it prophetically. You got to put your behind in your past. You got to let it back there where it's supposed to be. You got to move on. The scripture says forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know yesterday is yesterday? Hallelujah. You can't live life in a rear, looking through a rear view mirror. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't live life in a rear view mirror. I want to go to Luke chapter 24 this morning. If you want to turn there with me in your Bibles, and Carlin's going to bring it up on the big screen. How many here ever's done a 5K before? Anybody ever done a 10K? In your car. Well, hallelujah. How far is a 5K? Thank you. 3.1. How far is a 10K? 6.2, right? How far is 7 miles? About 11K? What'd you say? A long ways? Long way if you're running. Hallelujah. So I figure this is about 11K this morning we're going to do, okay? If 5K, y'all help me, these math students here. If a 5K is 3.1 and a 10K is 6.2, then a 7 miles must be about 11K. Am I on there? Somewhere. Okay, so we're going to call it 11K this morning. How about that? All right, because we're going about 7 miles this morning. All right, we're going about 7 miles this morning, so hope you got your walking shoes on. Hallelujah. That 10K, it's on my list. It's on my list. It's on my list of things not to do. Y'all had hope there for a moment, didn't you? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Hallelujah. Some days I feel like I do a 10K before I get out of bed, before I even get to school some days, but amen. Hallelujah. Let's preach. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Everybody say Emmaus. Emmaus. Which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Hallelujah. Mine says about 7.5 miles. We're going to say somewhere around 11K. Amen. What day? It said, behold, two of them went that same day. What day? Resurrection day. Amen. Hallelujah. Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary and those had come to the tomb. And they had sent word that he's arisen. He's not here. Hallelujah. How many know Emmaus means a place of yearning? A place of desire. Hallelujah. It's also a place of hot springs. Another translation says hot springs. Hallelujah. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Hallelujah. Now, I love this because the scripture there says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together or reasoned together of all these things which had happened. Hallelujah. And while they communed and while they were questioning and while they had thoughts and while they're trying to figure out this whole thing of this whole resurrection and this whole message of the women who have come and the empty tomb and Peter gets there, they're trying to figure this all out in their mind. Amen. What is this whole resurrection thing mean? How many know when Jesus was literally crucified, beaten, crucified, buried, and in the tomb, there was a lot of disillusionment. There was a lot of disappointment. There was a lot of doubt. There was a lot of unbelief. There was a whole lot of questions. Some of them said, because we thought he was the one. We thought he was the one we had put all of our eggs in one basket. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the one. We thought he would establish a kingdom. We thought he would overthrow the Romans. We thought he would speak out. We thought he was stronger and more powerful than what they did to him. I saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. And I saw them put him in a tomb. Hallelujah. I saw them arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And cut off, and I saw Peter cut off his ear, and I saw him put it back on. And yet he yielded himself to the death of a cross. I don't understand all of this stuff. And how many know the scripture says they're on the road reasoning with themselves? Now here's another one of those little things that I have that I need to know the rest of the story. We know Cleopas is there. And another disciple. I don't know who that other disciple is, but I sure would like to know. Because in their walking and in their journey, they heard one of the most powerful scriptures, one of the most powerful sermons that was ever preached. And we're going to find out here in a minute. But how many know those two people? We don't even know if they're both men. It could be that it was the wife of Cleopas, who was probably the Mary who was at the bottom of the cross, at the foot of Jesus when he died. The scripture says, and they're walking in a place of yearning, a place of a desire to understand everything about this resurrection life, everything about this finished work, everything about the person of Jesus Christ. And as they're walking and as they're talking and as they're trying to figure all of this out between them, it says he appeared to them, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Have you ever been in the midst of a situation where you're struggling with some things? And you don't have all the answers. We had a couple over here with me. And you don't have all the answers to those things. And we know in our heart that Jesus is with us. But yet sometimes I say, Lord, I need to see you. You ever been there? Lord, I need to see you in the midst of this. I know you'll never leave me or forsake me. I know you've got me in the palm of your hand. I know life flows from your bones. I know there's resurrection power. But in my walking and in my journey, sometimes I forget. And sometimes I'm trying to figure things out. And I'm hanging out with somebody else, and they don't know the answers either. So we've never got it figured out. How many know sometimes if you want to see something different than what you see right now, you might have to hang out with somebody who doesn't necessarily have the same mindset that you do. How many know these two between them, they ain't got it figured out yet. And it said Jesus shows up in the midst of their circumstances, but they couldn't see him. Why? Because they're too busy trying to figure out the answer to the question. And says their eyes are withholding from him that they should not know him. And he said unto them, I love this, King James says, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? That's how King James says it. Jesus says, hey guys, what you talking about? What's all the conversation? What is this communication that you have? What is it that you're saying amongst yourself? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto him, Well, what things? And they said unto him, Well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And it says that Cleopas says to him, Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And Jesus saith unto him, What things? I love this. See, I think Jesus has a sense of humor. Here he is walking with these guys, Cleopas and his buddy, which we don't know his name, her name, whatever it is. They're walking trying to figure this out, trying to understand resurrection life, trying to figure out the finished work, trying to figure out that amazing grace. How many are still trying to figure that out today? See, what I come to understand is the more I know about his grace, the more I know about his work on Calvary, the more I realize I don't know, and the more I realize how big it really is, how wide it is, how deep it really is, his love for me on the cross of Calvary. But they say to him who has bruised and wounded and mocked and spit upon and beaten and crucified and died before them, Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? No, I've been in town the last 3 days. Don't you know what's been going on in Jerusalem? And Jesus says, Really? Tell me about it. What things really did take place in Jerusalem? And if I went around the room this morning and I said to you, Trish, what things took place in Jerusalem? Jim, can you tell me what things took place in Jerusalem? We would all be all day just saying everything that was accomplished at the cross of Calvary. We would be forever trying to explain exactly what things took place. And we're still trying to answer that question. What really did totally? I know he died. I know he was buried. I know he was resurrected. But I'm coming to know more and more exactly what he did for me in 3 days and three nights at the cross of Calvary. That he not only died for me, he died as me. Hallelujah. That when he was crucified, I was crucified. When he was buried, I was buried. And when he was resurrected, guess what? I was resurrected with him. I'm still trying to figure that all out. Amen? Hallelujah. When he was ascended, I ascended with him. And when he put principalities under his feet, he put them under my feet. When he took care of healing at the cross, he took care of it in me. When he took care of my sins, they're paid for, past, present, and future. That's powerful. What things really did take place in Jerusalem? 3 days and three nights. Jesus said, I don't know. Tell me about it. What things really did? And for 2,000 years, we're still telling what things took place in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. But I love that they say, Are you a stranger in town? know I was the center of attention. I was the coming attraction. I was the lamb of sacrifice. I was the propitiation. Hallelujah. I was the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. It was the veil of my flesh that was torn from the top to the bottom. I was the one that released mercy out of the most holy place. Hallelujah. I was there. I became the mediator. I took the place of Moses. I fulfilled everything that the law and the prophets prophesied and demanded and declared. I fulfilled in my flesh everything that was required. Yeah. I'm not a stranger in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Because it's the city that I love. My people. How many know we've become the new Jerusalem? We have become the city of God. Hallelujah. And they said, and now those girls, they're saying that he's resurrected, and some of them went to check it out, and certain of them, verse 24, which were with us at the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And I love this, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I submit to you this morning what a powerful, powerful 11K he did that day on the road to Emmaus, when for 7 to 7.5 miles in a journey, he shared with them all things concerning himself, beginning at Moses and the prophets, and bringing them through to that day of resurrection life. Hallelujah. How powerful that is. That is still the message that we need to proclaim and declare and minister today, is the same sermon that Jesus did on the road to Emmaus when he began to say, all things concerning himself from Moses through the prophets, clear through resurrection life. You remember that tabernacle in the wilderness? Yeah, that was me. You remember the water from the rock? Yeah, that was me. You remember the manna? Yeah, I'm the bread of life. You remember the sacrifice, the animal sacrifice? Yep, that was me. You remember when there was a cloud by night, cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night? Yeah, that was me. The Shekinah glory. That was me. Moses, the mediator. You remember him? Yep, that was me. How about Joshua, that brought him in by the mercies? Yep, that was me. Hallelujah. How many know that he began to say to them, guys, those weren't just stories back then. But everything that he preached and declared in the old covenant was a type and shadow and a picture of what was pointing to the cross of Calvary. I mean, no, they're connected. Those things are connected. Hallelujah. And he brought him to the day where Jesus would fulfill everything that the law and the prophets would demand. Hallelujah. Even to the point of bringing the commandments down to, he said, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in these two, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself. How many know if you really abide by those two commandments, you won't have to worry about the rest? If you really love God above anything, and you love your neighbor like we truly should, you won't have to worry about all the other commandments that follow. Because love guides your every step. Amen? Hallelujah. And so he fulfilled all of that. And he began to say to them in this journey, I come that you might have life and that you have it more. I come to break down the middle wall of partition that separates us. I come to include Jew, Gentile, male free, male female, bond nor free. Hallelujah. I'll get that out there. How many know that's a new concept? That's a new concept. Hallelujah. Up to this point, the Gentiles hung out in the outer court and the outermost part and off from the rest of the Jews and those who come in. But the scripture says now there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond or free, but we're all one in Christ Jesus, that he broke down any barriers, any wall of partition. Even your sins are not powerful enough to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Read Romans 8. It's one of the greatest love letters. It says, can anything separate you from the love of God? Hallelujah. His love is more powerful than your actions. His love is more powerful than your sins. His love is more powerful than your choices. Hallelujah. And I submit to you, if we'll yield to his love, hallelujah, if you'll yield to the power of his mercy and his grace in your life, he will so direct and guide your steps. Hallelujah. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. In other words, he acted like he was just going to keep on going by. But he's waiting. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with him. The scripture says that he acted as if he was going to just keep on going after their friendly little conversation. But the scripture tells us that the disciples said, don't pass us by. Don't go on. Don't leave this place. Come in with us. Sit with us. Fellowship with us. Be a part of us. Hallelujah. How many know the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is say, Lord, don't pass me by, but come in and sit with me. Pull up to the table with me. Come in and be a part of my habitation. Be a part of my fellowship. Be in my house. Be in my life. Don't pass me by. Hallelujah. I mean, no, it's as simple as saying, Lord, come and live with me. Come live and abide in me. Come live in my heart. Be a part of who I am. Engulf me with your presence. Hallelujah. Come to my house. I mean, Zacchaeus, when he wanted to see Jesus wanted to see him more than Zacchaeus knew. Said Zacchaeus climbed up in a sycamore tree because Jesus was about to pass by. And because he was a man of little stature, he had to get in a position where he could view Jesus. How many know if you always view yourself of little stature, you'll think you're insignificant and you don't matter to the Lord. But how many know he decided today, I'm going to get up out of the place where I am. I'm going to find myself a sycamore tree. I'm going to check Jesus out. I'm going to see Jesus today. But not only did he desire to see Jesus, the desire of Jesus to see him was even more powerful because he stops at the tree and says, hey, Zach, you and I, we got a dinner date today. I'm going to your house today. Hallelujah. And he sat down with him in just the presence. Hallelujah. How many know our encounter must be more powerful than our doctrine, our theology, our mindsets, our disappointments, our doubts? Nothing replaces the encounter. Nothing replaces his presence. I won't give you 2 cents for a God that you can't feel, that you can't experience, that you can't feel his presence, that you can't sit at the table with him and sup with him. Hallelujah. And he sat at the table with Zacchaeus, and he said Zacchaeus was a publican. He was a tax collector. He was a sinner. Hallelujah. Never once in that scripture do we see anywhere where Jesus pointed out the flaws of Zacchaeus. I didn't go to your house today, Zacchaeus, to tell you how bad you are. I came to your house today to tell you how good you are and to tell you that I desired today to stop by your house. I desired your fellowship today. I didn't come to tell you how bad you are, Zacchaeus. I come to tell you how good you are. And something about the goodness of the God that leads men to repentance, Zacchaeus stands up and said, you know what? If I've wronged anybody, I'm going to make it right. If I've been wrong in my life, if I've taken from anybody, whatever in my life has not lined up with this love I'm feeling right now, I'm going to make it right. There's something about being in the presence of God that calls you up a little bit higher and says, I can do better than this. I can live better than this. I was destined and born for this. I am greater than where I am right now, and I will rise up to everything that he says is true about me. Hallelujah. Because here's what I've come to know. What he says about me is more powerful than anybody else has ever said about me. Hallelujah. What he says about me, what he thinks about me, is more powerful than my worst critic. Anything that the enemy says about me. Hallelujah. The enemy may say you're weak, but he says I'm strong. Hallelujah. The enemy might say I'm a failure, but he says I'm a conqueror. Hallelujah. Why is it sometimes in our life we can have 100 positive voices and one negative one, and we give all the power to the negative voice? You got to learn to take that power away from them. You got to learn to take that power back. Because I already told you what Jesus said about me, what my Father said. He said he's head over heels and madly in love with me. I don't care what the enemy has to say. I don't care what my critics have to say. I don't care what anybody else has to say. I know what he says about me. And I know that one moment in his presence is life-changing. An encounter with Jesus. And you just can't ever be the same again. Hallelujah. And they constrained him. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he came to pass. Joyce mentioned just the other night in Bible study, he said, I won't drink and eat again till I sit down with you in the kingdom of God. How many know Jesus was all about the bread and the wine? He had taken the bread of communion. He had taken the wine of communion. He said, guys, look at me. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. You got to get this, guys, because I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to scatter. Some of you are going to deny me. Some of you are going to betray me. Some of you are going to walk away from me. But don't let your heart be troubled. Listen to what I've got to say. Listen. And he goes in and he sits down and he's constrained. And he sits down with them at the table. And when he does, smiles a little smile. They pass him the bread. He takes the bread. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread. He hands it to them. And the scripture says, and their eyes were open, and they knew him. I saw that before. I was on the shore when he took that little boy's lunchbox, and he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he fed a whole multitude of people. I saw him at the supper, the Passover meal, right before I was crucified. He took that bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to us and said, this is my body. And when he sat down at that table and he took that bread and he broke it and he started to give it to them with a smile on his face, they said, oh, my Lord and my God, I know him. I know him. And today we know him even greater in the breaking of the bread. Because every time we come together, we have communion. Whether we physically set up a table with crackers and juice, or whether we come together in the word, every time this word is brought forth, we break that bread and we distribute that bread. And here's what I want to tell you about breaking bread. It has the ability to feed multitudes. It's not just feeding this room today. Because each of you are taking a piece of that bread with you. And as you go out of here today, break it again. and give it out and share it. And as you began to talk about the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the ability to do the same miracle that Jesus did. You have the ability to feed multitudes. Open blind eyes. Unstop deaf ears. As they partake of the life and the blood of a risen Savior. And they knew him in the breaking of the bread. How do we know him today? We know him because his presence is among us. He went in and sat with them, and their presence was among them. But even greater than that, he knew them because of what this word says, what the word declares about him, what this bread tells me is true of him. And that bread is life-giving. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. That was miraculous. But you haven't seen anything yet. I am the true bread which came down from heaven. Which if any man will eat this bread, he will live and not die. You think manna was miraculous? Watch and see what I'm about to do on the cross of Calvary as I become your heavenly manna. As I become your bread of life. Hallelujah. We have the ability to distribute that same bread and that same wine to the multitudes. And I love this. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures, passages of scriptures in the Bible, because everyone is like, I love this. I love this. Verse 32. Well, wait a minute. Back up. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of the bread. They start out by saying, didn't our hearts burn within us? One of the best things that you will ever get in your life is a good case of heartburn. A good case of heartburn that when he speaks to you, there's something inside of you says, I know that voice. Because when I hear that voice, my heart burns. Something inside me comes alive. Something inside me turns. And I know that's the voice of my Savior. Not just a hearing of the ear. Not just seeing with the eye, but an understanding with the heart. Let's bring it on, Lord. Give us all a good case of heartburn today. That as we hear your voice, our hearts burn within us in an understanding and a revelation that we know you in a greater, deeper way than I ever knew you before. See, these disciples walked with him. Yes. They knew him. But they were coming to understand him in a greater, more powerful revelation that they had ever known and had ever experienced. They were encountering because now they didn't just hear his voice out here, they had heartburn. The power of God inside of them was beginning to stir something in them. Oh, for the stirring in our hearts that stirs up that burning desire to say, Lord, I desire you more and more. The more I know you, the more I desire you. The more I desire an encounter with your presence in my house, in my life, in everything about me, Lord. That removes all doubt, all frustration, all fear. Hallelujah. That I encounter you. And he says, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered there and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. He even came back and found Simon Peter. Hallelujah. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. One of the most powerful things you will ever do for yourself is to read this word. To know what the word says for yourself. Amen? To cause it to come alive in you. If you don't know the promises that are in there, you won't invoke them. You won't enact them. You won't know they belong to you. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Hallelujah. If you read one verse a day, if you read a chapter a day, if you, you know, get it in worship songs, find the word that you're daily putting into your heart, into your life, the confidence, the power, and the love of your Savior, you'll get a good case of heartburn. Hallelujah. It will be life-changing for you. Hallelujah. He was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did you have anything
particular? Huh? Do you?
Sister Wilda, do you want to sing He Touched Me this morning? Could you sing He Touched Me this morning? Come on up and let's sing that one. I just might help you. And you all just might have to help her too. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for His touch this morning?
Amen.
As we sing this song, just let Him touch you. Just let His presence be alive and be real in your heart today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, our altars are always open. It's as simple as coming forward and saying, Lord, I receive you. I invite you into my house. I invite your presence into my life. Hallelujah. And He works from the inside out. Hallelujah. To touch you. Amen.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Oh, He touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And all the joy floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Can I just say one thing? I thank God that when He touched me, that He came and He took up His abode in me.
Yes.
And I will never fight a battle by myself again. Because He said, I love you. And when He stretched out His arms and He said, it is finished, it's up to you and me to know how much He really loved us. Hallelujah.
He touched me and made me whole.
Sing it one more time while the kids are coming. He touched me.
Oh, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul.
Amen.